The Healthcare Appropriations Subcommittee will come to order. Members, please turn on your microphones when responding to the roll call. Sabrina, please call the roll.
Chair Avila.
Here.
Vice Chair Yarborough. Representatives Altman.
Here.
Barnaby.
Here.
Ranking Member Brown.
Here.
Representative Driscoll.
Here.
Duran.
Here.
Harding.
Here.
Robinson.
Here.
Salzman.
Here.
Saroy. Skidmore.
Here.
Smith.
Here.
Snyder.
Here.
Trabuzzi.
Here.
Quorum is present, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Sabrina. A quorum being present. I want to welcome everyone to the Healthcare Appropriations Subcommittee meeting. Please make sure that cell phones and other communication devices are turned off or on silent mode. Members, today we have five general bills on our agenda, and we will quickly get to them. First, we're going to start with House Bill 1473. Representative Busada Cabrera, you are recognized to present your bill.
Thank you, Chair. The parent, Florida's child welfare system must find a safe out-of-home placement for that child. It's best for the child's development to have as few moves as possible between caregivers and to achieve permanency quickly. However, some children are moved around often while in care, sometimes quite traumatically. Some do not achieve permanency before reaching the age of 18 and then age out of care with a permanent family. This bill supports older foster youth by better preparing them for adulthood and improving permanency so they do not stay in foster care until age 18. It also helps youth who age out of foster care receive needed support. The bill seeks to reduce placement trauma by minimizing placement moves and by requiring thoughtful transitions which consider the child's specific needs when moves do happen. Finally, the bill improves placement stability by specifying priority placements, giving more guidance on how to support sibling connections, and requiring the child's records to include a face sheet containing important information about the case. The fiscal year 2021 to 2022 proposed General Appropriations Act includes an appropriation of $18.3 million to accomplish the bill's provisions. This will allow us to continue to protect Florida's children. That is the bill.
Having explained the bill and there being no amendments, members, we're now in questions. Questions of the sponsor. Questions of the sponsor. Seeing no questions, members, we're now in public testimony. No public testimony. We're now in debate. Is there debate? Representative Skidmore, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative, for answering my questions earlier. This is a really comprehensive piece of legislation that does so many, many good things, and I appreciate your leadership on it. So thank you.
Members, is there debate? Representative Driscoll, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just very briefly, I have to tell you, as I was reading this bill in preparation for committee, it nearly brought me to tears. And just the idea that our state would be moving in that direction where we are so focused on providing trauma-centric care and minimizing trauma to our youth, it sends a very important message to me, making sure that there's care through the foster care system, even once kids have graduated from school. To me, it's just a move in the right direction, and I thank you for your hard work on this bill, and I look forward to supporting it today.
Members, is there a debate? Is there a debate? No further debate. Representative Busada Cabrera, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members of the committee. As of December, there were about 22,000 children in out-of-home care. That's 22,000 opportunities to help a child, 22,000 opportunities to give a child a fighting chance at the best life possible. I would appreciate your support.
Having closed on our bill, Sabrina, please call the roll.
Chair Avila?
Yes.
Vice Chair Yarborough?
Yes.
Representatives Altman?
Yes.
Barnaby?
Yes.
Ranking Member Brown?
Yes.
Representatives Driscoll?
Yes.
Duran?
Yes.
Harding?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Salzman?
Yes.
Saroy? Skidmore?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Trabuzzi?
Yes.
14 yeas, 0 nays, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Sabrina, please show the bill passes and show the bill reported favorably. Thank you, Representative. Representative Diamond, you are recognized to explain House Bill 1287. You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Chairman Altman, members of the committee, good morning. I'm pleased to present this very important child safety bill that has come out of some very tragic situations involving children in daycare vans. In 2017, 3-year-old Miles Hill of Orlando died of heat stroke after being left in the back of a daycare van for 7 hours. In 2018, 4-year-old Logan Starlight of Orlando was left in the back of a daycare van and died. And in 2019, 2-year-old Noah Sneed was left alone for 5 hours in a Broward County daycare van and died. Members, this bill, the Child Safety Alarm Act, would require child care facilities which transport children to be equipped with an alarm system approved by the Department of Children and Families to prompt the driver to remind them that there is a child in the back of the van. And I've spent some time learning about this issue, and it's obviously very tragic, but there are conscientious people that make this mistake. And unfortunately, Florida has the second highest number of young children dying in hot cars. And we now have the technology to do something about it, in addition to supplementing DCF's already very good procedures on this issue. Mr. Chairman, in terms of a fiscal impact for the purposes of this committee, this bill essentially has no fiscal impact. I mean, the bill requires rulemaking by DCF, and that's it. So that is a brief summary of the bill.
Thank you, Representative Diamond. Having explained the bill and there being no amendments, members, we're now in questions. Questions. Representative Snyder. Sorry, Representative Harding. Correction. Representative Harding,
I freshly shaved too. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Representative, for this really good bill. And I apologize I didn't get this question to you sooner, but it's in line with the bill. Has there been talk of expanding this to foster care or the transporters that transfer foster care children?
Representative Diamond, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Representative, for that question. I will follow up with the Department of Children and Families on that issue and get back to you on that. There are already several counties that have this requirement, but I'd like to get you the correct answer if I can, as opposed to shoot from the hip.
Follow up? Good. Members, questions? Representative Snyder, you're recognized in for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I appreciate the compliment earlier. quick question, Rep. Diamond. Love the bill. I noticed in one of the portions it talks about the annual inspection that will be required to take place. Who will be performing that inspection?
Representative Diamond, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So that would be something to work through with the Department of Children and Families as the licensing agency. And I'm in discussions with DCF. DCF has what I consider to be very good procedures already in place to try to help their facilities that they license make sure that these tragedies don't happen. But that would be really something that DCF would have to work through with the providers.
Members, any questions? Additional questions? Seeing no more questions, members, we're now in public testimony, and we have Andrew, and please pardon me for this, Andrew Khalil with the Criminal Conflict and Civil Regional Council, Region 5, waves in support. And we have Dainey McMillan with the Florida PTA. And yes, ma'am. Waving in support. Yes, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. And that concludes public testimony. We're now in debate. Representative Harding, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And again, I apologize. I didn't ask that question sooner. And I got to thinking. I've got a soon-to-be new nephew, and he's special needs. My sister is in the middle of adopting him, and he's a young boy that she met through the foster care system. And there were two instances where a third-party transporter had early on in this process really dropped the ball with this child. And so that's why I asked. That's just the premise behind the question. And one time was not relating to heat, but the second one was. So it was a two-strike deal, and then she, from that point on, took him to therapy herself. But it really was a pretty traumatic and shocking realization of what can go wrong and what's at stake. And so I really appreciate the bill. It's a great bill. And I think if there's an opportunity to expand to those third-party transporters that transport foster children to therapy and to doctor's appointments, et cetera, that would be a great way to expand this bill. So thank you again for the bill.
Further debate. Representative Skidmore, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you so much, Rep. Diamond. I know that this has been a labor of love for a number of years. And as you said in your presentation, technology has caught up with us, and we have the ability to prevent some of these tragedies as much as we possibly can. We know that there are good people out there, like you said, who make mistakes, and parents included. So hopefully once this becomes more mainstream, you know, it's an opportunity for some entrepreneur to have those alarms for individuals as well. Thank you so much for carrying this bill, and really, really hope we can get it over the finish line this year with your leadership.
Ranking Member Brown, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chair. And Representative Diamond, I want to thank you for bringing this great bill forward. We have seen this annually, time and time again, the unfortunate tragedies that have been facing many of our cities and local communities. This not only has affected many of our parents, but it has affected our community as a whole, year after year. And Representative Skidmore, I'll just let you know the great news that they are actually on car seats. I actually, again, just having a baby, we actually have one that was already connected, that's already with the car seat, and it alarms me whether that child is with my mom or me, for you to acknowledge it, to give you the temperature. So that technology is already there, and they're just also $40 if you add them onto older car seats. So I thank you for bringing this bill forward.
Thank you, Ranking Member. Representative Guillermo Smith, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just again want to applaud my colleague and friend, Representative Diamond, for his hard work on bringing this forward. You know, this tragedy has impacted all parts of the state, but particularly in Orlando, where this unfortunately has happened, and families and communities were devastated. So I'm just really proud to see you working so hard to try to solve this problem that affects everyone. I'm going to be a co-sponsor now, just, you know, after hearing so many great, great things about this bill and how important it is. So I just want to applaud you for your work and urge members of the committee to vote up on this bill.
Representative Driscoll, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I didn't want to miss the opportunity to be a part of the fan club for Representative Diamond's bill, because this is another one that, as I read in preparation for committee, along with, like Rep. Smith, I wrote co-sponsor, because this is just such a huge issue. And you see how it tears families and communities apart. We're oftentimes very well-meaning parents who get harried in terms of their, you know, their errands or the responsibilities that they have on their plate, and unfortunately sometimes leads to harm of their children. And if this can prevent even one death with these facilities, with these, these childcare facilities, rather, that have these transport capabilities, if we can prevent even just one death, it would all be worth it. So thank you for your hard work on this. I look forward to being up on your bill today.
Members, further debate? Seeing no further debate, Representative Diamond, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just very briefly, I just want to thank the committee for the positive feedback on the bill. Rep. Harding, I'll get with you on those good suggestions. And I'm going to continue to work on this. This is a work in progress. I'm going to continue to be in discussions with the Department of Children and Families, with the Association of Child Care Providers, to make sure that we're moving in this direction in a way that's fair and in a way that works for everybody, the families, the providers, and the agencies. And with that, I would appreciate everybody's favorable support. Thank you.
Having closed on the bill, Sabrina, please call the roll.
Chair Avila?
Yes.
Vice Chair Yarbrough?
Yes.
Representatives Altman?
Yes.
Barnaby?
Yes.
Ranking Member Brown?
Yes.
Representatives Driscoll?
Yes.
Duran?
Yes.
Harding?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Salzman?
Yes.
Theroy?
Yes.
Skidmore?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Trabuzzi?
Yes.
15 yeas, 0 nays, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Sabrina. Members, by your vote, the bill passes. Please show the bill reported favorably.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Diamond. Representative Placencia, you're recognized to present House Bill 1401.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 1401 is a bill that does two things. First, it exempts all group practices that provide ABA services from the requirements of the Healthcare Clinic Act. And the second thing it does, it also adds registered behavior technicians who hold recognized certification and practice under the supervision of either certified behavior analysts or professionals licensed under Chapter 490 or Chapter 491 to the list of private instructional personnel who may provide ABA services in a classroom setting. This change would allow registered behavior technicians to provide ABA services to students in public K-12 schools. I got through that fast because I want to explain to you what this bill does. The first component of it is simple. As we have new breakthroughs in how we treat both children and adults with autism or any type of cognitive delayed disability, there are changes that occur within the industry that oftentimes statute lags in its effectiveness to be up with the new changes. And that's exactly what's happening in both of these right here. And I'm telling you that because I want you to understand this. It's very important to me, and there are voiceless children and adults all over our state who depend on us to make sure that we are advocating on their behalf, and not just us, but advocates in the community in your districts as well. And so essentially what happened is, because of ABA services, which is clinically proven to be the most most productive form of therapy for someone with a cognitive disability, especially someone with autism, and that's something that's happened over the last 10 years, clinics were often opened up by board-certified behavior analysts, what's called a BCBA. Under our state laws, you have to have a license. Unfortunately, the BCBA, who is at the highest level of therapist for a child with autism, there is no licensure process in the state of Florida. It is a certification that they get through a certifying board that's a national certification. And so that kind of puts them in a problem or in a situation where for a while, ACA was not enforcing the licensure requirement for a clinic. But last year, ACA, after 5 years of not enforcing it, decided they were going to begin to enforce it. So what we have done, last year we did a portion of it which passed into law. Any ABA clinic who accepted Medicaid became exempt. Now we're trying to exempt all ABA clinics, even if they don't accept Medicaid. And so what we did is we added them to the list of exemptions for clinic licensure. Last year's exemption was exemption O. So alphabetically, it's O. That's how many exemptions we have for that clinic licensure, and this one would be the next one. The second component of this bill is very important as well, and I believe it's even more important. So I explained to you what a BCBA was, a board-certified behavior analyst. So originally, a board-certified behavior analyst is the one that decided the therapeutic protocol for that individual and also did the therapy, the bulk of the therapy for that individual. Then eventually, a BCABA, which is a board-certified assistant behavior analyst, was created. And then most recently, a registered behavior technician was created as well. And so what has happened over the years is now the BCBA provides the recommendations and the protocol of how the therapy that will be prescribed to that child. But they only do about 10 to 15% of the supervision or the practice, the hands-on practice with that child. About 80 to 85% of all of the therapy for that child is done either through a registered behavior technician, an RBT, or a board-certified assistant behavior analyst. Unfortunately, as it's written in law, it's very vague on who can enter a classroom to provide that therapy. And so there are some school districts that are interpreting our current statute in a way that they're allowing for RBTs and BCABAs to enter the classroom to give a child therapy that they need in order to be successful at school, be successful ultimately as an adult, or oftentimes, as is the case, be able to use the restroom on their own, be potty trained, maybe learn to speak, say their first words at the age of 10 or 12 or 13, being able to pick up after themselves, not biting people, not banging their head through a computer screen or against the wall, learning to eat. These are things that RBTs teach children on the autism spectrum to do, kids that are low functioning. Unfortunately, some school districts are interpreting our state law currently in a way that they are not allowing for these RBTs to enter the classroom, and these kids are going without a certain percentage of the therapy that has been prescribed to them. And so what this bill would do is it would require all school districts to allow both RBTs, BCABAs, and BCBAs into the classroom as appropriate, and that is the bill.
Thank you, Representative Placentia. Seeing no amendments, members, we're now in questions. Questions on the bill? Questions on the bill? Seeing no questions, we're now in public testimony, and we have Eric Pritzman with the Florida Association of Behavior Analysis, and is a proponent of the bill. And that concludes public testimony. Members, we're now in debate. We're now in debate. Representative Snyder, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Rep. Placentia, I know we haven't had the chance to work together much, but I know that those that have been here often refer to you as Coach P, and I can see why. The way you broke that down for us was not only enlightening, but for me it was very inspiring. I've only been up here a short time, but in the amount of presentations that I've seen, the level of passion and dedication that you brought today was second to none. It's a great bill. I'm up on it all the way and appreciate all your hard work in this critical topic, so thank you.
Members, further debate? Further debate? Seeing no further debate, Representative Placentia, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'll be brief. Members, we have three children in our family with autism. And over the 7 years that I've been in office, I've worked diligently in trying to create a regulatory framework that is in the best interest of these children. It's very difficult for a lot of these parents. I mean, those of us who are parents, you know what it's like. Even when your child gets the sniffles or something minor, you know, it's your entire world. Imagine having to deal with this every single day. For some parents, it's very severe. For some parents, it's just being afraid of how their child will be socially in a school setting. But nonetheless, it's very frightening for all parents. You also, for those of you who haven't been in the process a long time, you'll begin to realize this, and those of you who have, you'll understand this. There are so many people in our state that are asking for our help, and there are so many different needs in our state. And none is more important than the other, but they're all equally as important. Oftentimes, especially through this committee, you get to hear some of the most important bills that we'll ever hear because it involves the life and the health of all of the people that we serve. So I ask for your favorable support on this bill, but I also ask that you keep an open mind when you see bills for children with disabilities, regardless of what disability it may be. And with that, I close.
Thank you, Representative Placentia. Sabrina, please call the roll.
Chair Avila?
Yes.
Vice Chair Yarbrough?
Yes.
Representatives Altman?
Yes.
Barnaby?
Yes.
Ranking Member Brown?
Yes.
Representatives Driscoll?
Yes.
Duran?
Yes.
Harding?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Salzman?
Yes.
Saroy?
Yes.
Gidmore?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Tribuzzi?
Yes.
15 yeas, 0 nays, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Sabrina. And members, by your vote, the bill passes. Please show the bill reported favorably.
Thank you,
Representative Placentia. Okay, members, let's go to Representative Salzman with House Bill 627. You're recognized to present your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. HB 627, Alzheimer's Disease and Dementia-Related Disorders Education. Alzheimer's disease is the most prevalent form of dementia, a general term for memory loss. It is a progressive brain disorder that damages and eventually destroys brain cells, leading to memory loss and changes in the functions of the brain. It accounts for 60 to 80% of dementia cases. There are an estimated 5.8 million people in the United States with Alzheimer's disease, including 5.6 million people aged 65 and older, and 200,000 individuals under 65 who have the younger onset of Alzheimer's. Florida does have several programs and initiatives under the oversight of the Department of Elder Affairs that provide resources and support for individuals suffering from Alzheimer's and other dementia-related disorders. This bill requires the Department of Health, in partnership with DOEA and the Alzheimer's Association, to provide information to educate physicians and nursing professionals about Alzheimer's disease and dementia-related disorders. Basically, this bill is just going to connect the dots and allow for the health departments across the state to provide information to people that come into the health department to help them understand the early signs and symptoms of Alzheimer's-related dementia. This bill has no fiscal impact on the state or local government, and that is the bill, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Salzman. Members, there's no amendments, so we are now in questions. Are there questions of the sponsor? Questions of the sponsor? Seeing no questions, we're now in public testimony, and we have Doreen Barker with AARP, and Doreen Parker waves in support. We have John Conley with the Alzheimer's Association.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
You're recognized, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. John Conley, State Affairs Director for the Alzheimer's Association, and I'd like to thank Representative Salzman, Representative Plakin, and all the co-sponsors who have signed on to support this bill. On behalf of the 580,000 Floridians impacted by Alzheimer's disease, we ask for your favorable support.
Thank you, sir. Seeing no further public testimony, members, we're now in debate. Is there a debate? Seeing no debate, Representative Salzman, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Wave close, Mr. Chair.
Having waved close, Sabrina, please call the roll.
Chair Avila?
Yes.
Vice Chair Yarbrough?
Yes.
Representatives Altman?
Yes.
Barnaby?
Yes.
Ranking Member Brown?
Yes.
Representatives Driscoll?
Yes.
Duran?
Yes.
Harding?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Salzman?
Yes.
Saroy?
Yes.
Skidmore?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Tribuzzi?
Yes.
15 yeas, 0 nays, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Sabrina. Members, by your vote, the bill passes. Please show the bill reported favorably. Thank you, Representative Salzman. Now we will go to Representative Altman with House Bill 7039. You are recognized to present the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. House Bill 3039 makes several changes to improve the state's community-based care welfare system, including one, enhancing supports for foster families and caregivers, two, increasing transparency for CBCs and behavioral health management entities' spending and adding requirements about conflicts and interest, three, allowing DCF to work with local communities to develop an alternative plan to deliver child welfare services if DCA can't contract with a CBC, four, allowing the establishments of multidisciplinary legal teams, legal team representation programs to serve families in the dependency system so permanency can happen faster. 5, describing the services provided by children advocacy centers. And 6, aligning state law to new requirements in the Family First Prevention Services Act so the state can maximize all available federal funding. And that is the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Having presented the bill and there being no amendments, members, we're now in questions. Questions. Questions of the sponsor. Seeing no questions, we're now in public testimony. And in public testimony, we have Kate McFall with the Humane Society of the United States. Waves in support. Thank you, ma'am. Seeing no further public testimony, members, we're now in debate. In debate. Seeing no debate, Representative Altman, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. These changes, I think, will play a long role in improving the quality of services that we provide in our child welfare system. Thank you.
Having closed on his bill, Sabrina, please call the roll.
Chair Avila?
Yes.
Vice Chair Yarbrough?
Yes.
Representatives Altman?
Yes.
Barnaby?
Yes.
Ranking Member Brown?
Yes.
Representatives Driscoll?
Yes.
Duran?
Yes.
Harding?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Salzman?
Yes.
Theroy?
Yes.
Skidmore?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Trabuzzi?
Yes.
15 yeas, 0 nays, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Sabrina. Members, by your vote, the bill passes. Please show the bill reported favorably. Thank you, Representative Altman. Members, that concludes our agenda for the subcommittee. Thank you again for all of your hard work, and certainly for talking to the sponsors and obviously digging in into these legislative proposals. As we move forward, please continue to certainly reach out, whether it's to me or to staff. If you have any questions, any concerns, anything certainly that we can be of help, please do not hesitate to reach out. With that being said, members, that concludes our committee, our subcommittee. Seeing no further business, Representative Harding moves that we rise. Without objection, the meeting is adjourned.